the Poms will jump on any opportunity to suggest that they might have the upper hand on us. Pat Cummins is out. Yeah, sure, we'll miss Pat, but then you bring in Scotty Boland, whose record in Australia is unbelievable. But I did like this. This was from Steve Smith, who will be the captain for the first test at least, although it seems like he'll probably be captain for longer. His test batting average is 56.02. When he's not captain, it's like 49 point something. When he is captain, his average rises to 68.98, which is ridiculous.
I'm Ian Hawkins, and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport, as I see it, is to see your vision become a reality. Find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body.
So I'm on my own for the week in review this week. Ben's not available, but we'll push on. Ange Watch. We had the NRL season review last week, so we had the week in review for a while, and what we missed was Ange getting the sack. But he now has a record. He has the record for the shortest tenure as a Premier League manager, 39 days, the shortest permanent reign in Premier League history. What an honour. It has been interesting. Well, one, he had that rant the day before he got sacked. So I think anyone who saw that rant was a cracker, by the way, talking about how people forget the first 10 games at Tottenham where he was undefeated, but they didn't matter later on. But then he said, but now, you know, you care about the first games all of a sudden. So he was almost like trying to position himself. Maybe he knew he was getting sacked and trying to maybe do a bit of spin doctoring to make sure people didn't forget the success he had. So that'll be end of Ange Watch for the time being, because we won't be seeing him, you wouldn't think, in the immediate future. And I liked what a couple of the pundits, I think might have been Mark Bosnich, saying it might be a good idea for him just to take a rest for a while and let things settle and wait for the right opportunity, because in hindsight perhaps it wasn't the right place for him given the way they'd been playing football and the lists that they had. And maybe he should be waiting for somewhere where he can actually rebuild, get a full off season under his belt. So that's the end of that. The other watch we were having was Wallaby Watch, and their season has stalled further. They've got the win, but they've just crept home against Japan, the rugby powerhouse of Japan. Now, I made that joke that Japan have actually done a heap to work on development of the game, and they've thrown a shitload of money at rugby. So they're a team on the improve, but they shouldn't be getting anywhere near the Wallabies. So, yeah, disappointing. There's spring tour, I imagine, coming up for the Wallabies. That's how much of a fan I am. I'm not even 100% sure that's happening, but that's usually the case. So we'll see if their luck can change as they head over to Europe. Okay, so that's the first part out of the way. Little interesting bit of news that happened over the last couple of weeks, and I got to admit, I missed this as well. So this is from a week, just over a week ago, that Matthew Hauser, Australian triathlete, has become a world champion. What's even more embarrassing, that it actually happened just down the road in Wollongong, the World Triathlon Championships. How bad is that? That hasn't made more mainstream news platforms, or maybe it has, and embarrassingly I've missed it. But what an awesome achievement. Legend. I think anyone who can do that level of endurance, 1.5K swim, that bit, I just don't think I'd be able to make 1.5K. I'm not a swimmer. 40K cycle, 10K run, but also at the speed and intensity they do it at, crazy. So well done to Matt there. I'm excited about the Ashes. We've got the Ashes coming up, and I really enjoyed this story. It's interesting to see that the Poms will jump on any opportunity to suggest that they might have the upper hand on us. Pat Cummins is out. Yeah, sure, we'll miss Pat, but then you bring in Scotty Boland, whose record in Australia is unbelievable. But I did like this. This was from Steve Smith, who will be the captain for the first test at least, although it seems like he'll probably be captain for longer. It's interesting how the brain works, I suppose. I think my record when I'm captain is probably better than it is when I'm not. I feel like I kind of go to another level and try to set a standard. I think it's worked well when I've stood in for Pat over the last few years. It'll just be seamless transition if that comes around. Well, it has come around. I think I read that he's undefeated in his last six test matches as captain when he's filled in for Cummins, maybe even won five of the last six. But the best stat is the bit that I read with great interest, that his batting average, his test batting average is 56.02. When he's not captain, it's like 49 point something. When he is captain, his average rises to 68.98, which is ridiculous. That's crazy. So touch wood, fingers crossed, all of those things, that him stepping into captaincy will bring out the best of him. It certainly did last year in India, and well, he was the only person that seemed to, in the Australian team, and him and Travis Head maybe, who seemed to be able to counter Bumrah. But in the match he was captain, he scored even more runs, and that's been the case in those recent six matches as well. So hopefully that is a good omen, because I don't know if I could cope if how lippy the English have been, and if they can get one over us. And I apologise for any of the English people listening. We're very much coming from an Australian standpoint here on the Sporty's Life podcast. Yeah, so we're heading in the right direction then there, hopefully. I really found it interesting in the last week how much corruption has come to the surface. There's the NBA story, Chauncey Billups and Rozier being implicated for match fixing or maybe not match fixing, but passing on information about players who are injured and all sorts of implications. There's a story in Turkish football. A 5-year probe found hundreds of referees held betting accounts. Of the 571 officials investigated, 371 were found to have accounts, and 152 had actively gambled, including 7 referees from the top leagues. The Turkish Football Federation president, I won't try and pronounce his name, said those involved would face necessary penalties, as clubs called it a chance to rebuild integrity in Turkish football. Now, I'm sure if you've seen anything around football and FIFA, there's been plenty of corruption uncovered. There's always been plenty of suspicion around refereeing. In fact, there probably has in a lot of different sports. More has come out. I've heard some anecdotal stories from people who've played in Europe about certain situations, like the president of the opposition team getting onto the bus and telling them what the score needed to be at the end of the match. Crazy stuff. And I always sort of cringe when I hear these corruption stories, because I'm like, this is a big part of our life, right? Like, we kind of engage so much, and it can lead us to be a bit cynical if we find out too much of this stuff is going on, because then you start questioning everything. How much of this is legitimate? Kenyan female marathon world record holder, again, won't pretend to try and pronounce her name, 3-year ban for taking a diuretic. The diuretic was what Warney got banned for, because it masks steroids, amongst other things. So again, this is one of the elite, and they've been pinged. And again, you just wonder how much of this stuff's happening. You hope that they're catching the people doing it wrong, and it's not widespread, but you can't help but wonder at times. The other thing that's interesting in the world of sport and from an Australian perspective at the moment is Oscar Piastri seemingly falling in a hole. I'm not a massive F1 fan. Of course, I will follow what's going on for Australians where they're doing well. And to me, it just seemed all too familiar tale for Australians who were doing well and running into maybe some favouritism to teammates, which seems to be happening for Norris at the moment. And thinking back that when that's happened in the past, Daniel Ricciardo wasn't necessarily on the verge of winning a world title, but he was certainly hugely competitive. And initially, his best year was one of his early years, and he had, you know, multiple time world champion Sebastian Vettel. He got one over him one year, but then as he continued at Red Bull, and he has Max Verstappen come in, he starts off reasonably well in certain seasons, and then seems to be similar to what Piastri is going through at the moment. Suddenly his car had problems. There was some reliability issues, reports of maybe favoritism towards Verstappen, like the Red Bull team had decided they saw him as the future, so they put more time and energy into him. And then Mark Webber, funnily enough, Piastri's manager now, had a very good year, 2010 maybe, when he also was teammates with Sebastian Vettel, won 4 Grand Prix that year, and was right in the title hunt till right to the end. And again, I couldn't tell you exactly, but from memory, I think there was similar sort of talk that maybe he didn't get the backing as the number one driver. Now, do we look at it as these three Aussies punching well above their weight in F1, or do we look at it and go, well, maybe they haven't got the respect because they're Australian in a very Europe-biased event like the F1. F1 is trying to shift that now to become more of a threat in the US, but really traditionally it's been very European. Or has there been something more sinister at play and some sabotage because, you know, teams are wanting to get behind the person that they see as more marketable or bigger upside or whatever it is? Or is there a bit of a block around Australian F1 drivers? Alan Jones winning the world championships 1980 or 81 maybe? That's a long time ago. It's even longer than the Parramatta's premiership drought. So a long time, right? Over 40 years. Yeah, I just like to see the patterns in things, and it got me thinking whether there's something more going on. But anyway, the season's not done. Hopefully he can get himself back heading in the right direction, and maybe he storms home and with that underdog mentality that Australians seem to do so well on, and fairy tale finish to come back after the setback and win the world title after all. Will be interesting to see. I still won't be getting up in the middle of the night or the early hours of the morning to watch the F1, but I'll be making sure I check out the highlights. So that we'll leave it there for this week. I've got to be honest, I found this challenging having to do this on my own, but we got through at least 12, 13 minutes for something for you to listen to. Hopefully I've still kept you interested. We'll be back with Ben and maybe some extra people coming in the weekly review and a few other different panel shows coming up in the not-too-distant future. Stay tuned. Have a good one. I'll speak to you next one.
You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.